Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to try to talk from here. If that is cumbersome for me, I will move that way, and I'll ask you to click here for me. Let me start my countdown here as well. This is a statewide pediatric disaster planning effort towards assessing the critical care capabilities in the state of Illinois. I have no disclosures. This is an initiative by the Illinois MS for Children program here in the state of Illinois. I've worked for many years, and I still collaborate with them, though now I'm in the Department of Public Health Sciences. The Illinois MS for Children was established in 1994. In the state is a partnership program between the Illinois Department of Public Health and Loyola University with the mission of enhancing the pediatric components of our EMS system. And this is part of a federally funded EMS program. So today what I would like to do is to explain the need for a pediatric and neonatal specific disaster planning, describe components of a pediatric and neonatal critical care capacity assessment for the purpose of disaster planning, and discuss a little bit about some of the metrics that can aid in this planning. So why focus on children? Illinois has about 12.8 million people, 21.5% are under the age of 16. For the purpose of regionalization of disaster planning, we have seven regions. They're called public health and medical services response regions in Illinois. And as we can see, the distribution of children ages 0 to 15 across those regions, 70% of them are concentrated in the Chicago region, which accounts for Cook County, which is our county here, as well as adjacent counties. Now, when we look at the population 0 to 15 years of age within each region, they actually account from anywhere between 19 and 22% of the population within each region. In terms of healthcare utilization in Illinois, 14.7% of hospitalizations are accounted by children 0 to 15 years of age, and they also account for about 22.3% of the ED visits. Children are at an increased vulnerability in disasters. Children have anatomical, physiological, and developmental differences that increase their vulnerability and when they are exposed to harmful exposures and therefore increase the likelihood of morbidity and mortality. In terms of medical equipment for children, they come in many different sizes. For example, if you are to care for three children of all ages, you have multiple sizes of equipment and supplies. This is not the case for adults, but we'll have one to three sizes. The most. And we need the proper size of equipment for the proper size of children to provide optimum care. Challenges related to medical intervention. Children may require more staff, more time, and more resources. They may be frightened and they may fight with those who are trying to provide timely care to them. They may also be at higher risk for long-term effects, psychological effects due to disasters. Many healthcare professionals do not frequently see a significant number of critically injured children. And this inexperience may lead to either delay in care or errors in provision of care. And last but not least, in terms of disaster planning, there is not much attention or they are not, do not fully cover the children's needs in disaster planning and programs. Now, in 2008, the National Commission on Children and Disasters were convened by the President and Congress. They were charged in conducting the first ever comprehensive review of federal programs and plans to assess their responsiveness to the needs of children. In 2010, a report was issued with about 11 areas of gaps that needs to be reduced. Throughout the report, the term benign neglect was used, and not to refer to intentional neglect, but to the fact that in disaster planning, the needs of children were not taken into account or were not fully taken into account. And it was this particular report that led the Illinois EMSC program to start exploring how we were doing in terms of disaster preparedness. In that process, the EMSC program convened a group of experts, a committee with emergency medicine, pediatric, and disaster management experts to start creating a strategic plan to guide the state level response and give local medical service guidance on the care of children, including operational plans, communication, a decompression plan, and resource allocation during a surge of patients that would overwhelm our each local healthcare system. The annex that was created to the IDPH Emergency Support Function 8 Plan, which is the State Health and Medical Disaster Plan of the Illinois Emergency Medical Emergency Management Agency, was completed and tested in 2014. And throughout this process, those years in which this committee met, and also some ad hoc committees, subcommittees that were working on that as well, it was determined that there were gaps in existing pediatric, existing data for pediatric resources throughout the state. We did a first review of existing information, picking up on several reports that were available to us. And in those reports, we could capture system-level information, whether the number of hospitals, the number of trauma centers, the number of critical access hospitals, those hospitals that were within the perinatal system, hospitals that had the pediatric designation. We were able to get some bed capacity information as well as utilization. And one of the issues, for example, in this secondary data review that we conducted, that we observed, was that throughout several years, and we have added the last few years of data as well here, there was a decline of about 30% in the number of pediatric beds, and these are general pediatric beds, and there was a decrease of 30%, and a slight increase of about 10% on the number of neonatal ICU beds. Nonetheless, there were limitations to the existing data. There were variabilities on the findings, mainly due to definition of indicators and varying reporting standards. And we also identified gaps on specific metrics that were not available for us to use in disaster planning. So it was difficult to plan for a disaster response without having baseline information in issues such as the number of ICU beds. We did have four neonatal ICUs, but we did not have pediatric ICU beds in any of the reports available. We did not have information on medical equipment availability such as respiratory equipment, critical care, transport resources, and the list of specialists that are available to care at the tertiary level. So in 2013, we developed a survey with the aim of to assess the neonatal and pediatric critical care capability of the state of Illinois as well as its border state resources. Those were selected resources with the purpose of preparing some baseline information to be used in disaster planning. The method that we used was a telephone survey interview. It was a structured questionnaire that we developed to capture information on bed capacity at three levels, at pediatric ICUs, neonatal ICUs, and within our perinatal system, the level two, which is an expanded special care nursery capacity within the state hospitals. We also looked for information on specialties, surgical, non-surgical, and APP availability, respiratory equipment and some specialized services, critical care transport availability, and disaster surge plans. Our sample were all the hospitals that had PICU facilities, NICU facilities, and the level 2E special care nursery facilities. So we had 25 hospitals, including six border states with PICU facilities, 30 with NICU, and 23 with 2E facilities. We had a tremendous response rate because of where the survey was coming from, IDPH and EMSC. EMSC has a well-established relationship with the healthcare infrastructure in the state of Illinois that gave legitimacy to this survey. So we ended up doing about 76 interviews. This is not 76 facilities because some facilities has PICUs and NICUs, but those were the total of interviews that we conducted was about 76. The metrics that we looked at in terms of bed capacity, we look at authorized certificate of need beds. Those are the licensed beds that each facility are licensed for. Of those, the ones that were readily available for use, that were physically available to be used, even though they may have been staffed or not staffed. The average daily census of each one of those units, and from there we derive an expected number of unoccupied beds. Now, for the NICU, I would like to note that there are two hospitals in St. Louis, Missouri that are part of our Illinois perinatal system, so I included them in this table. And in terms of the NICU beds as well, those NICUs facility that also had level 2E beds, those are special care beds, there was an overlap in beds, and we were only able to capture these through the survey. We would not be able to capture this through the standards reports that are available out there. We had the same information for the border state resources so that we could use them together and also derive the expected number of unoccupied beds. And in general, on average, for PQ units, 88% of the authorized beds were in use. The occupancy rate for them was about 63%, which left about 89 beds unoccupied for use if needed, and an additional 35 PQ beds from the border state resources. For the NICUs, 98% of the authorized beds were ready to be used with an occupancy rate of about 71%, which left about 279 beds available for use with an additional 50 NICU beds from border states. And I'd like to mention as well that I did not include in this, what I'm doing here is a brief highlight of descriptive information from the survey, and I'm not utilizing the 2E facilities in this presentation. So what we identify is that in terms of PQ beds, the system would reach its capacity when 58% of above the Illinois average daily census would be reached within the facility. And this would be up to 81% above the ADC in using the border state resources. For NICU, the system would reach capacity at 40% above the ADC, with up to 47% if the border state resources were utilized. We have not yet started to look into the forecasting models that we could use in a surge scenario. So we have done with the first assessment that we did. We have done some scenarios of surge capacity that in discussion with the emergency department physicians, it didn't seem appropriate, and we will still be working on those in the near future. I'm almost done in time, and I'm going to run through some of the other findings. We look at respiratory equipments, and those were ventilators, as well as CPAP capability. And the major finding that we have is that for PQ hospitals, which also had a NICU, and those were 16 of the 18 Illinois PQ hospitals, they shared 99% of the ventilators. And NICU hospitals that had PQs shared 93%. So there was a great overlap in resources that must be accounted for in disaster planning. In terms of critical care transport, 79% of the PQ hospital had a pediatric critical care transport available, 82% of the NICU as well. The main arrangement that was reported was a combination of hospital-based staff with contract company vehicles. And again, when we ask the hospitals, when we ask the nurse managers of those units, what were those companies that they contracted with, there was an overlap in the companies that were used, again, sharing of resources that needs to be accounted for. We had a list of professional services that we asked for their availability in terms of either being dedicated to each facility or shared across different facilities. Those are providers that work in multiple hospitals. And we found that among PQs, 10 to 22% of those resources were shared, and 24 to 44% of the NICU resources were shared. We also looked into the most frequent critical care special services that were available in those facilities, and those were the most frequent ones. Virtually all PQs had that we surveyed had a plan in place to surge beyond their capacity in a disaster event. 88.5% of the Illinois NICUs had that plan in place as well, and all border state hospitals with NICU facilities did. They all had in their plans staffing bed and supplies, a supply plan. Strength of the survey was that we were able to develop some new metrics that were not available before, and for us to have an assessment of the capacity for disaster planning. We had a very high response rate. We had a greater insight into the hospital resources through the interviews that were conducted with nurse managers and directors of those units. We had an opportunity to identify system strengths and gaps and work on statewide and regional baseline assessments. I'm not presenting here the regional assessments that we are reporting on to the specific regions. Limitations was that this survey only captured the healthcare capability of the highest level of care. The metrics that we use are moving targets. Equipments are being deactivated or they are being acquired every moment throughout the year. The survey implementation was resource intensive and it was unfunded. We have a lack of dedicated funds to run the survey periodically. And we saw some reporting discrepancies as well in hospitals that had both PQs and NICUs. The next steps are the development and dissemination of regional reports for continuous planning. work with the Illinois Department of Public Health to determine the feasibility of expanding existing data systems such as our bypass system to incorporate disaster planning metrics that are sensitive to pediatric disaster planning, outline how often this data should be collected, and encourage hospitals with PICUs and NICUs to work together in responding to shared response, shared resource metrics. And this is my presentation.